We begin the current daf Masechet Chulin daf Kuf Yud Tes. Begin 6 lines down the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues trying to bring proofs regarding the Machlokes we mentioned in previous daf, and that is what we're discussing relating to the topic of our Mishnah, where there was another Tanoic text brought in regarding this idea of Shomer and Yad. That is regarding the halacha of Tumas Eichlin. There is an element can become a food item can become tummy. Now, depending if there's a shomer, which is a protector of that thing, let's say a piece of skin, and then there's also the halach of yad, regarding the, something like a handle, like a bone that's attached to a piece of meat, that they could also go ahead and be machnas and maitzi tuma, and by a shomer, even be mitzdarf to the shear of tumas eich, which is that of a kebeya. Now, there was a machlekes rav in Rabbi Yechanan regarding what is the minimum measurement of being a yad or a shomer. Rav held that a yad, a handle, cannot be for something that's less than the size of a kezayis. So let's say it's attached to meat. That meat has to be at least the size of a kezayis for the handle to be machnas and meitzi tuma. And regarding shomer, it can't be for something that's less than the size of a large bean. Rabbi Yechanan said no, that you could have a handle even less than a kezayis, and you could have a shomer even less than a bean. But as we inferred, Rabbi Yechanan holds that for a yad, it has to be at least the size of a bean, but that's the machlekes regarding the lochas of shomer and yad. So now the Gemara continues to try to bring a raya toshima from the following brisa. The brisa says, Rabbi Huda Omer, he says, kailis, which is the upper bone of the thigh, and there's always marrow inside the type of bone, which has significance regarding the laws of being a shomer, which is protecting the marrow inside the bone. So says Rabbi Huda, regarding this, the thigh bone, shiesh alea kazayis basa, that has on that bone an olive size of meat. So on that says Rabbi Huda, that olive size of meat, gaireris kula, it draws together that whole bone, l'tumah, for the laws of tumah, meaning to say that if there is, together with that meat, other food items that together are in the combination of the size of a kebeya, of an egg, because that's the minimum regarding the transportation of tumah, and then a sheretz touches it, so whatever touches the bone, it's going to be tumah. That's Rabbi Huda's opinion. Now, acher ma'imim, the others say, they say that even if there's on this bone, even just meat the size of a bean, which is much less than that of an olive size, even there it says the acherim gereres kula l'tumah, drags all of the bone regarding the laws of tumah. No matter where it touches the bone, it's going to be tummy. Says the Gemara of Rav, hay b'may mokim lo, similar as the Gemara on the top of the summit from the previous daf had asked, how's he going to explain this brisa if he wants to explain his opinion like old Tanoim? Ibiyad, if he's going to explain that this bone is functioning like a handle, kasha seifa. The end of the brisa, I mean the opinion of the acherim, is difficult on Rav, because Rav had said that a handle cannot be for something that's less than the size of an olive, and yet here we see the acherim say that even if the meat is even just the size of a bean, much less than that of kezayis, that the bone will function like a handle. And Ibishemer, and if he's explained this thigh bone that's functioning like a protector, because, like we said, the thigh bone always has marrow inside, and therefore it's shomer, it's protecting the marrow that's inside of it, then kashereisha, then the beginning of the brisa, so that of the Tanakhama is difficult on Rav, because the Tanakhama had said that only if there's a kezayis of basar, but it sounds like if there's less than a kezayis, then it's not going to function as a shomer, but Rav had said that a shomer doesn't function if it's less than that of a bean, but if the size of a bean, even though it's less than a kezayis, it will function as a shomer. So either way you explain this case of the brisa of the bone, the thigh bone, either as a shomer or as a yad, it's difficult to wrap. So says the Gemara, Ibay seima b'yad, if you want, you could say the brisa is talking about that it's functioning as a handle. V'huda, amak Rabbi Huda. And he says like Rabbi Huda that even if it's less than the size of, that Rabbi Huda says that it has to have the share of a kezayis, but if it has less, then you're right, then it's not going to be. Meaning, not like the Achim. Achim say even less, but Rav's going like a Behuda, because it has to have the size of a Zayas to be a handle. Or Vibay say b'shomer, or if you want, you could say that it's talking about that it's functioning as a shomer. And Kachem is like the Achim, where, yeah, the Achim say clearly that it's even if it's going to be the size of a bean, then it's going to work, but not less than the size of a bean. Where, in according to that interpretation, actually, Behuda is even more stringent. He says even as a shomer has to have a kezayis. But Rav would be going like the acherim that since it's a shomer, it's good enough if it at least has the size of a bean. Now, for B'yechin Amar, he would have to say, kula b'shomer, the Bryce is talking about that it's functioning as a protector. And he says like the acherim, where there is at least a shomer, if it's at least a, even though it's less than that the size of a kezayis, like the acherim say, it doesn't have to be like Rabbi Huda, size of a zayis, I mean not like Rav. Rabbi Yechon would have to tell you. He holds that a yad could even be less than the kezayis, and a shemir could even be less than a pull. He would say the kul b'shemir. You would have to say the whole brayse is talking about that it's a protector. V'hudo amakecherem, and he's saying not like a Yehuda who holds that if you're talking about a shemir, it would even have to be a kezayis. No, it's like techerem that they say that no, it could even be a shemir. It could be a functioning as a protector even when it's less than the kezayis. That is the Gemara. Acherim. How could Rabbi Yechon be even like the acherim? Hakapul kamri. Although they're more lenient like Rabbi Yehuda, but they say it has to be functional as a shemir. The thing that it's protecting has to be at least the size of a bean. And Rabbi Yechon said, and that was his disagreement with Rav, that a shemir could even be something that's less than the size of a bean. So how could Rabbi Yechon be like any one of the opinions here in this price? Says the Gemara, no, I did the Kamatana Kamashura. Once the first time, meaning that of Rabbi Yehuda, he said a measurement that, as Rabbi Yechon has explained the Braisa, that's talking about a shomer, that it has to be the size of a kezayis. So Kamri Inu Namishura, so the others, they also said then a measurement, but the truth is they hold that even if it's less than the size of a bean, it would still function as a shomer. It's just that they're saying a lesser amount. They're saying, oh, you're saying kezayis, not giving me a bean, but the truth is it could even be less than a bean. Now, Rashi points out that if Rabbi Yechon would have explained the Braisa that is talking about a yad, would have made even more sense according to Rabbi Yechonah, because then it would be exactly like the Acherim. As we pointed out, Rabbi Yechonah holds that for a Yad, it could be less than a Kezayis, but it has to be at least the size of a bean. So why didn't the Gemara just say that Rabbi Yechonah is talking about, that he explains the Braisa that it's like a Yad, and then he's exactly like the Acherim? The reason is because ultimately, the case of the Braisa is talking about a Koilus, a thigh bone. It doesn't talk about any other bone. Now, if he would be explaining the Braisa as a handle, and therefore that's exactly like the Acherim, it has to be specifically the size of a bean, then we would have asked, but the case that it's talking about is that of a thigh bone. Now generally, as we pointed out before, a thigh bone is not just a handle, but a protector too, because it always has marrow inside of it. And even so, the Acherim are saying that it has to be the size of a bean, which would be not like Rabbi Yechonah, because he holds that a shemir could even be less than the size of a bean. So rather, that was the tradition that Rabbi Yechonah had, that actually the others were not specifically saying that it has to be the size of a bean, as the Gemara actually is going to clearly say in Rabbi Yechonah that it's Ein Zeh Shir, it wasn't a specific measurement, and therefore that's why we explained it, that it's told about that it's functioning as a shomer, and you're right, it doesn't have to be specifically a pull, it could even be less than the size of a bean, the way Rabbi Yechonah has explained the Acherim in the Braisa. Now, Amar Ravi says, Deken Nami de B'Shem Askin, and he says, actually, precise reading of the Braisa indicates that that is the case we have to talk about, both for Rav and Rabbi Yechonah, that's talking about a protector, because the Ktani Kailis, the case of the bone they were talking about is a thigh bone, and generally thigh bones have marrow inside of it. Shemami, no, we could infer that that has to be the interpretation, both according to Rav and Rabbi Yechonah. Now, Itmar, we learned that regarding the same Achlik as Rav and Rabbi Yechonah, however, this is in the interpretation of the Acherim in the Braisa, which is quoted. Rabbi Chanina Amar, he says, this that the Acherim said that it has to be the size of a bean, this meat that the bone is functioning for, that was specifically that Zehu Shir, that is the measurement, because if it's less than the size of a bean, then it's not going to function as a shomer, because he holds like Rav that says that even a shomer has to be at least the size of a bean. Whereas Rabbi Yechonah, he says, no, Ein Zeh Shir, that's not a measurement because it wasn't precise. It was just because, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, since Rabbi Yehuda said, so he also said, as the Gemara asked, Ein Zeh Shir, that's not a measurement? Vakatani Kapul. What do you mean? The Chaim said clearly, has to be the size of a bean. What do you mean that there's no measurement? Says the Gemara, I did the Kamatana Kamashur, but since the first time that Rabbi Yehuda said a measurement, that he holds it even has to be the size of an olive, so Kamayinu, not Mashur, so they also said a measurement, no, it doesn't have to be the size of an olive, it could even be the size of a bean. The truth is, according to Rabbi Yechonah, it could even be less than the size of a bean, since it functions as a shomer. Now the Gemara continues asking on Rav, Tashimav, in the following Mishnah Masechtas Uksim. Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitahir. He says that there's no tumma, it's tar, by a protector, bishel pul, when we're talking about large beans, because it doesn't function as a shamer, the pods, the outside shell of these beans, because we're talking about these types of pods that the beans grow in. Since beans, these pilin are large, they don't need to be protected, and it's very easily usable by just handling the beans themselves. So therefore, we're not going to say this pod functions as a shomer to import or export tumah or to combine like other shomer. And therefore, he said that it's going to be tar. But he said that it will have the laws of Tuma regarding the pods of the small beans, because they actually does function like a shema, like a protector of the beans inside that pod. Because since these kitnis are small beans, and therefore we prefer that they don't get dirty, and therefore he prefers that he handles it with the pods, that it doesn't get mixed up with all the refuse and the dirt. And they shereitza b'mashmishin, because he wants to be able to handle those small beans through the pods, and therefore they function as a shemer. Now what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going on is because the beginning of that Mishnah was talking about, it said that regarding pods that were emptied out from their beans, so they're tahar, because it's not functioning as anything. All the beans are taken out. But if even one bean was left inside, then it's going to be tummy. And that's, for example, if there is between the pod and the beans inside, that it's going to be in the requisite shear of a kebeya. In fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that, well, if we're talking about pailin, large beans, then it's going to be tar, because then it's not going to combine as a shamer to be the shear of a kebeya. But he did say it's going to be tummy when we're talking about kitnis regarding small beans. But one thing the Gemara says, that we see that there is the law of a shamer for something even less than the size of a pull, because we said that regarding kidneys, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it is going to be a tummy. So pail is large beans and kidneys are small beans. And you see that the pods will function even for one kidneys, one small bean, even though it's less than the size of a pull. And that's not like Rav. Rav said that even though it's functioning as a shame, it has to be at least the size of a pull. And here you see it's even for the size of kidneys. Says the Gemara, could the Amr of Acha Berei de Rava, that he says elsewhere, that this that we're saying that it's going to be tameh by the kitnis, by this one small bean, we're not talking about because of the pod that it's functioning like a shemer. Rather, we're talking about bekulcha, we're talking about regarding the stem that touched something tameh. Umeshum yad, and the stem functions like a handle, where now that it's like a handle, it's a handle for something significant, which is something more than the size of an olive. Why is it more than the size of an olive? Aren't we talking about a small little bean? And because we said that a yad, according to Rav, requires not only a pull, it requires even the size of his eyes, is because all the pods are attached to the stem. Now, in contrast, the beans, since they're large, we don't care for them to even have a handle. And therefore, the halacha, hachanami b'kulcha mishum yad, here also we're talking about a stem, and it's functioning as a handle. And actually, umay b'mashmishin, what does it mean b'mashmishin? It's not like we originally had interpreted because of the handling, that by the small beans you want the pod, and by the large beans you don't need. No, here, since we're explaining, it's talking about by the stem, it means b'tashmishin, in its utility, which is that you want to move it around with the stem, and that stem is a function, is a tashmish for the food items, but it's not going to be less than the size of a pull. It's actually going to be even the size of a kezias, what it's being handled for, because it actually has all the pods with all their beans inside that are attached to the stem. And again, that's why it's only relative to that of the kitnis, because there you need the stems. But regarding the large beans, the pailin, that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said it's going to be tar, because there you don't even need it to function as a yad for the beans. But again, we're talking about the laws of yad and not the laws of shem, and there's no raya, not like Rav. But the Gemara continues asking in Rav Toshima, the Tandabir Bishmo, written in the Brayse of Shiva Bishmo, that says in the Pasuk, and we had quoted this in the previous daf, Al Kol Zera Zerua Ashi Zerea, on every seed that's planted, which will be planted, which that Pasuk talks about the susceptibility of food items becoming tummy. And when it's talking about it, it's talking about how things are planted, which is Kedef Shem in the other Mitzin, just like people take out seeds to be planted, which is Chita Biklipasa, the wheat kernel is taken out with its husks, Usari Biklipasa, the barley with its husks, Vadashim Biklipasa, and lentils with its husks. That's what we learned out, that they're included, the Shemer is included in the laws of Tziruv, the laws of being Makabal Tama. But one thing we see is that there is a Shemer, which is the husks, for something even less than the size of a bean, which are lentils. These adashim are less than the size of a bean, which is not like Rav, who said that even as a shemer has to be at least the size of a pile of a large bean. Says the Gemara, Ber Yishani, an intact creature, element, is different. When did Rav say that a shemer cannot function for something less than the size of a bean? Was, for example, a half of a bean, which is not a complete creation. Or meat, that's its measurement is a half a bean, and it has the skin on it, which that supplements it with the size of a kebeya. But an intact lentil, which is a full, a complete creation, that you're right, Rav agrees that of course it will function, that a shomer will complete it for the shear of a kebaya. The truth is, Rashi says, the previous Gemara's discussion regarding the shavitin, regarding the pods, the Gemara could have answered the same thing, that even though it's one small little kitnis, a small little bean inside, that yeah, there it's going to function as a shomer, because b'riyashani, a creation, is different. Now, the Gemara continues, v'ya v'yishya. As you continue to Medveiz, he says, Shnei Shaimrin Ma'usha Yitztarfu. What's the halacha regarding two protectors? Do they combine for the food item that's inside of them to supplement and be mashlim and supplement the shear of a kebeya? Like we said, that's the halacha in our Mishnah that we said for food items, the Shaimrin, the protector, could supplement it for the shear of a kebeya. What's the halacha with two Shaimrin? So the Gemara says, what's the case of two protectors? If you would say the normal case, what it means to say is one protector on top of another protector, like certain nuts, it has one shell and then another one. On that, he asked the Gemara, is there a halacha that the second protector could even function as a protector to combine them? To say that it has the halacha as a shemer? But what's not? Well, in the Mishnah Maseches Uksin that says, Yehuda Omer, says, Shalish klipas bebatzel. There's three different shells, peels, by an onion. Panimis, the inner one, which is that white one, that's the first ones, which is still edible. Bein shleima bein kedura, then whether if it's intact or whether it has a hole inside of it. Mitztaref, as it combines for the shear of tumas eichel of a kebeya to be the size of an egg, because it itself is actually edible. It's considered the eichel itself. Whereas emtsais, the middle peel, which that's already protecting the inner ones, which this one's not edible on its own. Shleima mitztaref, if it's whole, if it's intact, it combines because now it's protecting the onion that's inside. But kadura im it's if it has a hole, it's not going to combine because it's not functioning as a shamer, because whatever it is could get through that because it has a hole. Chitzayin, the outer peel of the onion, whether if it's intact or has a hole, it's going to be tar because it's a protector on top of a previous protector, and which is not considered as a shamer. So you see clearly it's not considered a shamer. What's his question regarding if two protectors combine? So the Gemara explains, Ravayishya, Shemer Eichel Shacholka Kimibayle. His question was regarding a protector of a food item, one protector that was split. That's his question. For example, let's say you have a food item the size of a kebeya, and it has a protector on it, and that protector was split. His question is, do we say that now those two protectors combine with the food item, or not? What's the question? Says the Gemara, Kivin the high loy megan the high, since this protector is not protecting on what on that one, the high loy megan the high, and that other protector is not protecting what this one is. So limits their efforts. Maybe they don't combine because they're not protecting the same thing. Like demo, maybe no. Even the high megan the day, since this one's protecting its part, the high megan the day, this one's protecting this part. Mitzarfen, they do combine. They're both protecting this food item. This food item has protectors, and the protectors combine for the shear of the kebeya of the eicha that it's protecting. So says the Gemara Tashima. Let's bring a Rai from Mishnah Set the Suksin. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitahar bishal poil. We've mentioned this Mishnah before, that, and that's what relates back to the previous Gemara's discussion, that he says that the protector of poil of large beans, he says that's tar, that's not going to be instrumental in the tumah of those large beans. But a mitahar bishal kitnis, but the protectors of the small beans, there it does combine. And they shereitz a b'meshmishin because he wants with its handling, which the Gemara's assumption right now is that we're talking about a combination of two or three pods that will combine for the shear of an egg with its food items inside, because the Gemara is assuming most definitely that one pod does not have the size of beans of the size of an egg. So obviously it means to say a bunch of different pods together. So you see that two different protectors will combine with their two food items inside for the shear of a kebeya, even though it's, each one's not protecting this one because they're separate pods, and yet still you see that they that they do combine, as we see by the case of kitnis. So you see that different shemrim do combine. So Amrav Acha Bered de Rava, he says, no, this that's saying that if it's tame or tar, these protectors of the large beans or the small beans, is not talking about the pods. And this is what we referenced before, b'kulcha u'mishum yad. We're talking about the stem, and it's not functioning as a shemer, but rather as a handle. And that handle has, that stem is connected to many different pots. What does it mean with the handling? It means with their utility, and it's regarding yad. And if you don't see any raya regarding many different protectors combining, it's actually one yad that therefore could function with all these different pots together. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, the Tanbei Bishmol. It says in the Pasuk, Al Kol Zera Zerua Shizereya, regarding any seed that's planted, which will be planted, which teaches us, as recorded this before, in the previous Gemara's discussion, it continues with this same Braisa, Kedech Shemini Adam Etzin Lezriya, that the food item becomes susceptible, just as it is the way it's usually planted, which is chita beklipasa, wheat in its husks, v'sari beklipasa, barley with its husks, v'adashim beklipasa, lentils with its husks. So you see that wheat, with its protector, combines for the share of a kebeah. Now, obviously, one wheat kernel doesn't have, even with its protector, with its bran, whatever's on the outside, the share of a kebeah. So obviously we're saying that because we're going to combine different protectors with its food items inside of it, to be the share of a kebei, which is the minimum of the share of tumah. And therefore the same thing would be for a food item that its shayma was split. Now, Rashi points out the Gemara could have answered as it did previously, oh, but ber yishani, because it's intact creation, therefore it's going to have the halacha of a shayma, but Rashi says that that's a contrived answer, and therefore the Gemara gives a different answer instead. But the Gemara is saying, you see that different Shemim will combine for the share of a kebeah. Says the Gemara, no, kedamar of acha b'ed rava, b'kulcha umeshum yad. We're talking about that it's not regarding the shemer part of the chita. We're talking about the stem and its functioning. Meaning, we're comparing that halacha of acha b'ed rava, which is in a different context, as we said before regarding the beans, that we said, oh, it's not the protector part, but it's rather the handle part, the stem, and it's functioning as a yad. So says the Gemara Hacha here by the covering of the wheat, Nami is also that same type of an answer. Beshedra, we're talking about the spine, meaning what means to say is that it's the ear of the grain, which is that the wheat is established as a spine going all around that stalk. Umishum shaymer, and we're talking about it's coming from the laws of a protector, but it's not talking about every single wheat kernel itself. We're talking about the whole stalk intact by itself. That's one shamer, because all the wheat kernels need each other, because if one of them would fall, they would all fall. And therefore, it's not two shamer. There's no right to see, oh, you see, we're combining different shamer for the law of bimitzar for the share of a kebeah. No, talking about one shamer. What's the one shamer that has the share of a kebeah? It's that of the whole stalk itself, the whole ear of the grain. So ask the Gemara, Bishlemi Elisa Tsuchilitita. We understand that the upper kernels need the lower kernels. Meaning the upper rows that the wheat is established there in the ear of the stalk of grain, it needs to have that the lower ones should be intact, should still be there, because if the lower ones would fall out from the stalk, so then the upper ones would go ahead and fall down too, because they're dependent on the lower ones. But what do low ones need the upper ones? Even without the upper ones being there, the lower ones would still remain where they are. And even so, you see that we're combining the protectors of the upper rows with the food items of the lower ones, because he's saying it's considered as one big shemba. But why? They don't need the upper ones. So why should that combine with it? Says the Gemara b'chadara. We're talking about in one row, that's where we say we can combine their protectors, where we're saying it's considered as one protector. Because since they're established very tightly together in one row, if you would take any one of them from in between, then there would be a space for the other one to fall. And then yes, even the low ones need to have then the upper ones. So that is the Gemara Mika Kabeya Eichel Mechadara. But how could you say that in one row, from the grain of wheat in a stalk, that has the measurement of the size of an egg. Says the Gemara, Bechiti, the Shimon B'Shetach, we're talking about the wheat that was like by Shimon B'Shetach, as the Gemara in Tainus Chav Gimel Manav says, that they were like the size of the two kidneys of a large ox. They had great bounty and blessing, that yes, it's possible to have in one row, and therefore the bottom needing the top ones, that the wheat could be mitzdar for the Sheva Kebeah. But again, it's not two shemim, it's one shemim, that of the stalk itself. And that says the Gemara, well, hashd as lahachi. Well, now that you came to that and you gave such an answer, so then I could tell you that actually this that we're saying, that the wheat with its klipa, with its protector, that it's going to be mitzdar for the share of a kebeah, you don't even have to say like the Gemara was saying to combine two different wheats with their protectors because of the one row of the stalk. Rather, I could tell you that chad chitanami, that actually means even one wheat kernel itself, with its peel will be mitzvah for the share of a kebaya. For example, b'chita the shemen shadach with the wheat of shemen shadach, where then it's, the protector is going to combine with that one wheat kernel because it's so big that yeah, actually each one had the size of a kebaya together with its protector, and therefore that therefore wouldn't prove regarding our question if two shem could combine with the food item to mitzvah for the share of a kebaya. Now the Gemara goes back gufa, which was mentioned incidentally as a question on Rav and Rabbi Yechanan regarding the machlekes that we were just speaking about in Amud Aleph. The Gemara introduced the following brisa: Shnei atzamos v'alein shnei chatzoi zesim. If there's two bones from a dead person, and on each bone there's a half an aleph size of flesh, v'hichnas rasheim shneim lebayis. And the other end of the bone, the part of the bone that doesn't have any flesh in it, were those two halves were put into the oil, into a house, v'bayis ma'alein, and now the house is a canopy over it. So the Tanna Kama said, habayis tami, the house is going to be tami, because the bone function as an extension of the parts of the meat of that bone, and the two halves combined to be the share of a kezayis. We have now as if a kezayis of meat, which is the minimum to spread tum throughout the oil, as if it's there in the oil. Now, Yehuda ben Nekusa, Oymer Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, he said, no, heich shnei atzamos mitzarfen lekezayis. How could two bones combine for the share of a kezayis? In other words, if you had one bone with the shevek kezayis on the other end, then we would see it as if it's inside, because we say the yad is machnas and meitzi tama. But if it has just a half a kezayis, even though you have two of them, how could it combine? And therefore he says it's not going to be mitam the el. However, Amr Shlakish, he says loisha no ele etzim davayad. But this whole braisa, at least what everyone was agreeing with, it was only talking about a bone, which is a handle, that it could go ahead, at least if it was a kezayis on one, or according to one opinion, at least the half a zayis on two of them. But that's because it's functioning as a yad, because it's a bone. Aval nima, but he says regarding one hair, loy havya, then that's not going to be considered significant to be a yad, to be a handle, because that would detach. If you're going to try to pull from that hair, that piece of meat, it would get detached, and therefore it can function as a handle. The whole utility of a handle is that you could pull it through the handle. Rather, says Rish Lakish, the hair would be a shemer, a protector, where it protects it, but not as a yad. Now, there's significance in that idea because there is a stringency in one element of a yad over a shemer, because a yad could bring tumah to the food item that's attached to him in any situation that it is, in contrast by a shemer. If, let's say, there's a piece of hide, and on it, on one end, is an olive size of meat, and someone goes and touches one of the hairs on the other side, it's actually going to be tar, because Allah is a shomer doesn't bring tumma, just like a yad, only if it's on the opposite side of where the flesh itself is. As the Gemara had said on Daf Kof Yud Ches in the previous daf, that if someone touches in the opposite side of the meat, then it's going to be tummy as a shomer. But as a shomer, it doesn't go ahead and transmit from the other side of where the flesh is. So therefore, it says Rish Lakish, it's important to know that this halacha was only said regarding the bone, because regarding the hair, then actually it wouldn't function, because the hair is not on the other side of the flesh. The flesh is going to be the other side, then it actually won't bring tumah to the oil. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. He says, no, afilu nimin ami havayad, even the hair function as a handle, and it would bring tumah, and even if it was touched, or like in this case of the oil, which the hair wasn't opposite where the flesh is, it's still going to function as a yad, and it's going to be machnas amaytzi tama. Now, Eser Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish from Mishnah later on, of Kof Chavtal Amud Alf. The Mishnah says, Or sheyesh lov kezayis basa, a piece of hide of an animal that has in it an olive size of flesh. So hanageya b'tziv hayetzim min, if someone touches a strip of flesh that's coming out from that hide, or ubisayri shekenegdei, or a hair that's coming out opposite of where the flesh is, tummy, the person's going to become tummy. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Maila Mishum Yad, isn't it talking about because it's functioning as a handle for that piece of hide, for that meat? Now, one would have to say then that when it says regarding the hair that it's shekenegde, it's not specifically, because that would sound like the laws of shema has to be shekenegde. No, it's talking about that's like a handle, that strip of flesh that comes out, or that hair functions as a yad. So you see now like Rish Lakish that even a hair could function as a yad. Says Rish Lakish, lo, you know, mishum shema, it's functioning as a shema, where that actually work even better regarding the wording that it says shekenegde, and that since it's an olive-sized piece of meat, so therefore, the protector, since we're talking about a nevela, it cannot function as a to be mitzvah for the shear, but it can function at least in the medium of like a handle to be machnis and mitzi tuma to import and export that tuma. However, the question is, could this here function as a shamer? But is there such a thing as a protector on top of a protector like we mentioned before? Here you have the hide. On the hide is the hair. The hair is a protector on top of a protector. How could you say then it's functioning like a shamer? Says the Gemara, chalchule mechalchel. The truth is that the hair goes all the way through the hide and goes all the way up until it touches actually the flesh itself. And if it's not a protector on top of a protector, it's protecting itself directly onto the flesh. However, on this maskevla revacha bar Yaakov, he says, El matam, if that's the case, that's how hair is in the hide. Tfilin hechikasvinan, how do we write tfilin, which we write tfilin on the hide of a kosher animal? But if you're telling me that hide, that has holes, the pores, that go directly down where the hair is all the way to the flesh, habein k'siva tama. But there's halacha that it says in the pasuk uchsav tam that you should write it, which that's read k'siva tama. Has to be a complete writing without any interruptions on that piece of parchment, which is from the hide, v'leka. But the way you're describing it, there's holes all the way throughout all the hides, because you say that pores where the hair is goes through the bottom. How could you write tefillin on any parchment? Says the Gemara, Ishtamitze Hoda Amri b'Merabah. This that he asked this question is that he was not aware of this teaching that they said in the West. Because the halacha said, Kol nekev shad yoy oivrulav, any hole, even if it's a hole, like we're saying every hide has holes, because that's why the hair is not a shema gabi shemer, but if the ink passes over it and doesn't get stuck in the hole, in a nekev that's not considered a halachic problem of a hole, and therefore that's not a problem for writing on parchment. Well, the Gemara says, if you want, you could say to answer the original question, Kule, actually those two elements that were talked about regarding if one from that Mishnah later on, if someone pulls that piece of hide from that strip of flesh or that hair, actually you're right. Says Rosh Hashanah Shreb Yechanan, it's functioning mishum yad. It's functioning like a handle. Now, why isn't that difficult on Rosh Lakish? She said that a hair cannot function as a handle. When did the Mishnah say it's functioning as a handle? Is kada amar Rebbe Lo, like Rebbe Lo had said in a different context, that he says b'maloy shebein hamaloyim. We're talking about the bristles of a stalk that's amongst all the other bristles. Hachanami b'nei shebein hanim. And here also we're talking about that it's a hair amongst many hairs. There's many hairs here, and if you're going to pull a piece of meat through many hairs of the flesh, then it's not going to get detached. Then it's going to function as a handle. But one here, that Rish Lakish disagrees and says, not like Rabbi Yechanan, then it's not going to function as a yad. Says the Gemara of Hechet Madri Rebbe Lo, and where is the original teaching of Rebbe Lo that we're comparing it to? It's going aha on the following Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin. The Mishnah says, Moloy Shebishibolim, which again is like we're calling the bristles, which are these upper hairs, these on top of a stalk, all these hairs, which each bristle is very weak, but when you have, says the Mishnah, when you have these bristles in the stalk, mitamen, they import tuma, umitamen, they export tuma, ve'enim mitstarfen, however, they do not combine for the shear of tuma of the stalk itself, because at most we're saying it's a handle, it's not a protector, and therefore it's not mitstarf for the shear of a kebeya. But the question was, malai lamaychazi, for what utility, even as a handle, is the bristle, but you try pulling it, when you hold on, it falls off right away. So it doesn't function as a handle. Why is it considered a yad to import and export tuma? Adam Rebbe Lo, he said, b'maloi shebeinim alom. We're talking about not just one bristles. It's amongst all the other bristles where he holds on to all the bristles of the stalk, not with one of them. Then you'd be able to pull the whole stalk, and therefore that's why it's going to function as a handle. And that's what we compare to our context for Rish Lakish too. Not to my one here, but here amongst many hairs. Now, that's one version. Lishna Achrina Amri La, a different version that they said, which it comes out according to the second version, that the one who holds this interpretation is that actually Rish Lakish was saying, even with many hairs, it's not going to be considered a yad to import and export tuma to a piece of meat. And the question was from the Mishnah later on. On that, Rish Lakish had answered that no, it's functioning as a shamer, as a protector, as we had said in that first version. But the importance of this is that he's even disagreeing that it's not considered a yad, even regarding many hairs. And said Rish Lakish, Hochanam mistabra de mishum shamer. It's even logical to say that this that we said that the hair will go ahead and bring and have the laws of tumor regarding that piece of oil, that hide, is because it functions as a protector, not as a yad. Says Rish Lakish, because if you're entertained to say that the hair functions like a handle, nima achas l'maychazi, for what utility is one hair useful? It can't function as a handle. That's what the Gemara says according to this interpretation, that no, really the hair function as a handle. And what does it mean that a hair could be a yad? It means a hair amongst other hairs could amr below, that he said, b'malaysha b'nim alo, and we're talking about the bristles amongst all the other ones. Hachanam b'nim b'sha b'nim, and here also we're talking about a hair amongst all the other hairs. And therefore it's not a raya to Rish Lakish. And that the question was, where was his teaching below? Ahadatan was on this mission, Sefdus Uktsin, that says, the bristles in the stalks, mitamin, it could import and export tumma to and from the stalks. The emet starfin, but again, it doesn't combine for the shear of tumma because it's not a protector, it's just a handle. Now the question is, malay lamai chazi, for what utility does it have? How could it even be a handle? That number below, he said, "B'malaysha ben malayim." It's a bristle amongst the bristles, and that's how it functions as a yad. That's again the second version, which is in this machlekes Rabbi Yechonah Shlakish. It's Rabbi Yechonah who he's saying that when is it considered a yad? It's a considered yad when there's many. And Shlakish says even that when there's many, it's not a yad. It's only going to be a shomer, contrary to the first version, which Rabbi Yechonah was saying it's going to be considered a yad even with just one. And Shlakish was saying no, it's only going to be considered a yad when there's many bristles. When there's many hairs, then you could pull the piece of meat, and then it's going to be considered a yad.